1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, first. I don't know if you realize it, but a lot of religious people read religious literature, holy books. Shh, I need your attention now. A lot of people read religious literature, and it's mysterious, it's all airy-fairy, it's all... You just can't really pin down what's being said. Well, let me show you what God says. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." How many of you ever had espresso? How many know? How many of you enjoy a good cup of coffee? You know what espresso is? Strongly. Strong coffee. And the Holy Spirit doesn't speak mysteriously here. The Holy Spirit speaks strongly. Let's use the words, in your face. The Spirit speaketh expressly, clearly, that in the latter times, some, not all, but some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed, now watch these words, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with an hot iron. They have no conscience of what they're doing. Forbidding to marry. Marriage is honorable, the Bible says. And yet there are religious people who believe that if you don't marry, you can be more holy. That if you stay celibate, you'll be better used. You know, that may be true, but probably is not. You know, two, the Bible says, are better than one. So don't buy this idea that you're more holy if you don't get married. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Sounds like the beginning of a church, doesn't it? Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Everything out there to be eaten. Was created by God to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Somebody says, you can't eat that. Don't eat that. Well, maybe it's not good for you. But it doesn't make you holy or more holy based on what you eat or you don't eat, folks. You know, somebody fixes you, something puts it in front of you, what are you supposed to say? Thank you. Well, say, I have a missionary friend I met years ago. I haven't seen him in years. He's in Haiti. First time he went to Haiti with his wife, they sat down in one of the poorest sections in Port-au-Prince. And he sat down and this family brought out a chicken. Alright? You ready? He loves chicken. And when they started to cut it, they cut all the pieces, they put all the white meat, the dark meat on everybody's chair, and then they put the head right on his plate. We saved the best for last for you. You know what? He's a missionary to Haiti. So guess what he did? He ate it. Whatever somebody puts in front of you, receive it with thanksgiving. Man, you know, we're here to serve the Lord. We're here for people. We're not here to be picky. Amen? We got a lot of picky teenagers who never grew up. So it goes on. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, oh boy, by the word of God, and you better pray over it. Amen? And the Bible says this, if thou, speaking to Timothy, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, let them realize the Holy Spirit is warning about a day when people will be seduced by spirits. And we'll turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll believe not just false doctrines, but damnable doctrines, doctrines of devils. Chapter 4. Now, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. While you're going there, let me just start off here. Here, obviously, the Holy Spirit is giving a warning. It's speaking off. Not only for that day, but for 2014. And really, we need to realize this is not just happening now. Something's been building up and building up for quite a while. Something very grieving and sad to any pastor. Grieving to any born-again child of God who wants to do right. And it's about an almost complete departing from the faith occurring. People who claim to be born again, people who believe the Bible, don't read it. Don't go to church. They'd rather watch the God Channel. They'd rather read on the internet. They'd rather argue, snap, get all bent up and out of shape on, with Facebook and with things going on all over the world, except right in their local church. They won't put up with the people that God put them with. Amen. The Holy Spirit's warning about people departing from the faith. Before we get to 2 Timothy there, I want to ask why. Why would they do that? Why would people give up on God? Why would Christians give up on the Bible? Why would they stop following the Lord Jesus Christ and go back to following their old flesh or their old friends? Why would people buy new Bibles? I like buying new cars. Never had one. I don't even put myself on the lot. I mean, I just don't want to come away depressed, man. I like new things. But I don't need a new Bible. I need a new heart. Amen? I need new eyes. I need a renewed mind. I don't need a new Bible. Why would people leave their wives and families for an adulterous affair? I'm talking about Christians. Why would Christians, knowing how wrong it is and how destructive it is, why would they abandon their marriage? Why would people vote for wicked men and women in Ireland? Why would people vote for those wicked men and women who care nothing about the unborn, who don't care anything about marriage or about families or righteousness or God, but oh, they're going to take care of this country? Why would people vote for wicked people? I don't understand it. And I'm talking about Christians. Why would God's people allow anything to be more important than being in church? You know, we're very careful. I know some people think, you know, maybe we do too much. I don't think so. But if tomorrow I said, you know what, we're just going to have church all day long on Sunday. Wow, now I'm not going to do it. Don't worry. You know, if you love God, you'd say, I better reorder my schedule. Because that's where God's people are. That's where I need to be. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25? It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more. I think in the 21st century, out of 2,100 years, since Christ, well, over 2,000, not 2,100, but over 2,000 years, we ought to be more in the church than even they were in the first century. We ought to be more excited, more passionate. Why would God's people allow anything to be more important than being in church, growing in grace, being transformed by the renewing of their minds? I don't know why, man. But the Bible tells us why. The Bible says there are three things why. First of all, we already read it. And I'm going to talk about that symbol in just a second. Because of three things. The first thing we already read is because there's a love for and by seductive, sensual spirits. The only kind of church that people want to go to now is where they feel good, where their senses are excited, where it's spiritual. You know, you may not think there's much spirit going on here, but there's a lot of Bible. And where the Bible is, the Holy Spirit is. But people have a love for, and they have a love that's given to them by seductive, sensual spirits. That's why they leave church. That's why they leave the Bible. Second reason, because they have a love for the doctrines of devils. I feel so much more holy when I've not eaten anything but fish on Friday. Now, maybe you don't feel that way anymore, but it used to be that way. People felt that way. And that's just, I mean, there are people who abstain from meat altogether. They think I'm more holy now. And they love it. But the biggest one, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, Timothy, talking to Timothy, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Don't preach your opinion. Don't preach your lifestyle. Preach the word. Be instant in season and way out of season too. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, and what's the next word? And doctrine. What do you get from the Bible? What's true? You get what to believe. For the time will come, here's the warning, when they, your audience, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Third reason why Holy Spirit warns about the people falling away, and why people fall away is because there's no love for sound doctrine. You know what I like about the Bible? It may not be my language. I mean, there's no Texan in there except reckon. I found one word that's Texan in the Bible. It's called reckon. Amen. The rest of it, I had to learn. Amen. But I found truth. And I must prefer truth to feeling good. Because if you ever go to the doctor and the doctor only just intends to make you feel better, you need to change doctors. And if you only go, you know, to a church because that minister makes you feel good, you need to change churches. You need to go to a place where you learn sound, strong, life-changing doctrine. Sound doctrine is solid doctrine, meaty. I there are times in your life, I talk about memories. I kind of have some neat memories. I remember the first time I had a steak and remember it. My dad actually, we went to a restaurant. My dad bought a steak and he cut a portion of it, put it on my plate. And I don't know how old I was. We're talking really young. And I'm sitting there and I just the way your dad talks about, and he's in there eating steak. And I thought, man, I get to eat steak today. And so he's cutting it up, and I put one of those things in my mouth, and I began to chew. And I chewed. And I chewed. And I thought, this is never going to end. I'd never had anything like that. I remember that to this day. I'm sitting there, my dad's laughing, my mom's laughing, my older brother's laughing. I'm going, when does this end? That's what sound doctrine is like. Sometimes it takes a lot of chewing. That's sound doctrine. Don't come to a church where it's already been pre-digested for you. That's what baby birds get from mama bird, amen? I'm not pre-digesting nothing for you. Sound doctrine. That's stuff that has to be thought about, reasoned through, not instantly understood. You go out of here and you go, I didn't understand. You may not understand what I say, but you ought to know it's true. And it'll come back to you, and we call it ruminating back where I come from, where you mull back over in your mind, and you go, now I get it. Or maybe even a few years later, you go, I got it. I understand what that verse means. That's sound doctrine. So instead of, you need to endure some things instead of just enjoying church. You need to have some meat instead of just milk. You know, imagine being able to see what some churches are like. As soon as you come in the door, there's Dan and there's Eric and there's Dean. And as people come in, they put a bottle in their mouth. Here you go. Here you go. Enjoy the service. That's all they get. You know, people today don't have a love for the Bible truth. That's why they're falling away. And it leads to deception. It leads to deception. See, religion is full of deceived people. And humanists and atheists jump on this all the time. And they're right. They'll point to countless numbers of people. Look how deceived they are. Look at what they're waiting for. Look at how they climb up on top of mountains and they wait for a comet to pass by that's hiding a spaceship. Look at how people are deceived, and they laugh and they look at us and they goof us with them. Religions are full of people who don't know what's going on in their religion. They don't even know what they're supposed to believe. I deal with Catholics all the time. They haven't a clue what they're supposed to believe. I deal with Baptists who don't know what to believe. There's a deception going on. So loads of people, and I mean loads and loads and loads. Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way, full of people leading to destruction. They're missing the door. There's only one door, folks. He's only one person wide. His name is Jesus. You don't get in by a crowd, you get in one at a time, humbling yourself before Almighty God and claiming Jesus Christ as your only means to come before Him and His precious blood shed in the place of yours. You come by one door. Now this morning I want to help you see what's really going on in modern religion so that you can better test the spirits that are out there, and especially the spirit that's in you. Because every one of us got a spirit we're carrying around. Sometimes we call them bad attitudes. A lot of times they are demonic, and we need to pray. Father, would you help us to just get on the edge of our seats and say, Lord, I'm not ready for the battle. I've been lulled into sleeping. I've been deceived into thinking that it doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter whether I go to church. It doesn't matter whether I'm living for God. It doesn't matter how I live or die. And the devil has been very good at deceiving. And this morning I pray we'd pull the curtains back and we'd expose what's going on. And we make some decisions this morning. No matter what they cost us. How do we take it very seriously? That there are seducing spirits out there. They're not ugly. They're not mean. They don't yell. They don't upset. They're beautiful. And they're winning. Lord, I pray that we'd be sick of it. We'd be finished with it. And we'd love the truth. And we'd love the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. Lord, I pray that there'd be some people in this room who'd not wait one more second, but would get born again today. And not say that they can wait another week, and then another week, and another month, and put it off, but that today is the day of salvation. Don't let anybody be deceived today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, this symbol. That's going everywhere. It's called coexist. How come we can't just all get along? You have your faith, I have my faith. You have your holy book, I have my holy book. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. Let's just get along. Why isn't God just a God of love anyway? You know what? Truth cannot mix with error. There are things that we cannot get along with. God doesn't. Neither should we. And the modern push is to get doctrine. I've had it told to me dozens of times. Close that Bible, Pastor. Just go with your heart. That's talking to a pastor. My heart got me in trouble every single time I trusted him. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. Jennifer quoted this a couple weeks ago, and I said, don't you say another word. I'm preaching on it. 1 Kings chapter 22. I'll show you how God pulls back the curtains on what's going on up in heaven and on earth right now. 1 Kings chapter 22. There's a war going on back in the Middle East. Isn't that funny? What was happening back then, 3,000 years ago, going on again, still going on. I think God's trying to keep us clued into the Bible. You can't get more advanced than what you read in the Bible. Every time you read every page of your Bible, you're reading tomorrow's newspaper. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 22, there's a war going on, verse 1. May continue 3 years without war between Syria and Israel, but it's about they had just passed with one war and is about to sprue up again. Watch it. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? It was a town there. And we be still. We're not doing anything about it. And we don't take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people is thy people. My horses as thy horses. Now there's a war going on. Now Israel's kind of messed up. It had been one country, one nation before under David, under Solomon. But things got out of hand. Things got very messed up. And they had a split. And they didn't get along at all. Kind of like North Korea and South Korea. And Northern Israel was spreading out in all these different areas. And there was a town up here, Damascus. This is all Syria. And they owned all of this area, and they were threatening to come into Israel. And the king of Israel's name was Ahab. Ahab's not a good guy. The king of Judah, his name was Jehoshaphat. And he happened to go and visit King Ahab. And Ahab says, you know what? There's a city over there, there's a whole area over there, and it's ours, and we ought to go get it. Would you come with us? And Jehoshaphat said, sure. Now, normally they're enemies. They felt so good about each other that day. They just felt like, I feel ecumenical. Let's just do it. So this situation seems so good, except look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now there's one difference between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat still feared God. Ahab could care less about God. Backslidden. He's sort of sliding away from God. He's falling away. He's with the wrong crowd. He's up in the wrong area. He's hanging with the wrong people. And the wrong people influence him and says, let's go do this thing. He says, yeah, but why don't we pray about it too? That's a wise idea. So Ahab, look at the next verse, verse 6. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. How many people do you have to pray? You only need 1, 2, 3. But he gets 400 of these guys together. And he said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? I'll give you one guess what they knew the king wanted. See, the decision already is made. They are prophets for hire, by the way. So we've got these 400 prophets of Israel, all a hodgepodge of different religions, all standing there together. And he says, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You know, here this gathering of 400 prophets in Israel is a large assembly of religious leaders. And these were prophets. You know what a prophet's supposed to be able to do? Supposed to be able to speak for God. Supposed to be able to tell you what God's will is. Even able to tell the future. So here are the greatest leaders of the day from all over Israel. This was prophet so-and-so. Oh, here, this is doctor so-and-so. Here's his eminence, the right reverend doctor so-and-so. Father so-and-so. These are the biggest names in healers and preachers and prophets. And all gathered there. Very, very overwhelming group of men. Truly, there is power in numbers, isn't there? They had gathered to help decide the will of God. It's funny. I think Ahab already had decided the will of God, hadn't he? You know, I'll be quite honest with you. Most people have already made up their minds about what they want before they ever pray. You ever notice that? Here's a young man. He says, now God, I met this girl. And she's the one. I know it. At least I hope she is. I believe she is. Don't you think so? That's how people pray. You laugh, but you laugh because you know probably you've prayed that prayer too. Now God, I have an opportunity to change my job here. Oh, it means more money, and you want me to have more money, don't you? It's a more exciting job. I hope you think it's a good idea, because I sure think so. And so goes the natural praying of modern people, just like back then. Ahab says, guys, don't you think we should go and battle this battle? And he says, sure. They had gathered to decide the will of God. And they all prophesied the same thing, perfect unity. Go up to the battle. The Lord Jehovah is on your side and is going to give you the victory. He will prosper you, He will protect you, He will keep you, He'll even bring you home wealthy with the spoils of that war. Who would argue with that? 400 different people saying the same thing. Sounds like a good deal. There's one dissenting voice, verse 7. You know, I think it's a sad thing. I've been in all kinds of churches. Don't you think I've been in one straight and narrow? I've been in all kinds of churches, even recently. And I can sit down, and you know, when my stomach starts to turn, I don't care how good the performance is, I don't care how good the speaker is, I don't care how wonderful the lighting is or how comfortable the seats are, something doesn't set right with my stomach when the book's not being opened and not being preached straight. And if you're saved, if you haven't gone for very long away from God, you'll still have a conscience that gets tugged and you go, this isn't right. So verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Isn't there just Is there anybody else that might have a different opinion? Kind of reminds me of Cinderella. Remember the prince going along and he's trying the shoe on the evil stepsisters, going from house to house, and even the evil stepmother, and they're like, I'm sure it'll fit. And it doesn't fit. And he says, are we missing anybody? Is there somebody we're missing? And that was when Cinderella came out. Folks, there was one dissenting voice. Look at verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one. Ooh, circle that man. Circle that one. There is yet one man. It doesn't take a million of them. It doesn't take a thousand of them. It just takes one man. Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Sounds like a disgruntled Baptist, brother. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, let not this king say so. Oh, don't do that. Don't say that. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten thither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. One dissenting voice. Jehoshaphat would like to hear this opinion. So off goes this officer, and we meet Micaiah here. Look at verse 9, and we'll jump down to verse 13. He said, all right, he called an officer and said, hasten, run thither, and get him fast here, the son of Imlah. And down to verse 13, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, shh, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now, doesn't that make sense? I mean, who'd want to come up against and speak against 400 opinions that seem to be all in union? I've sat in a classroom full of 100 different people there at CIT and at UCC, and they all, you know, ready to mock because I'm getting up there to speak for creation. Speak that the Bible is true. And their eyes are like daggers. Just, you're in a room where you're saying the opposite of what they want to hear. That's what Micaiah's walking into. And the officer says, just get along. Just coexist. Say what is good, not what's true. Say what is good. They've already decided what they want to do. Just go along with it. You'll be promoted. You'll probably be the best. You'll be the head preacher. You would be invited everywhere. Right now, you're not invited anywhere. You know, he was a very unpopular prophet of the day, as most Bible preachers are. Bible-believing, sin-hating, God-loving preachers are not popular. You know, when he would preach, no one would stay and listen to his sermons when he got started. Oh, my mother's calling. People would say, he's always negative. He's always speaking the opposite of what everybody else is saying. I don't understand why my pastor just doesn't speak like all the other preachers that are out there now. He seems to find out what everybody's saying and then he says the opposite. You know what? The officer said, change your message. You know what Micaiah said? Whatever the Lord says is what I'm going to say. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. We need some men who have that courage and have that resolve. If the Bible says it, that settles it, whether I like it or not. So we have a face-off. Look back in verse 10 now. Look back at verse 10. This is all the background so that we get right to the thoughts of the message. And open behind the blinds of what's going on. Verse 10. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, while this officer is going and getting Micaiah, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place, an empty place, in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, made him horns of iron, looked like a bull. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, saith, go up to Ramoth Gilead. And what's the next word? Why is that a modern word today? I go to church because I'm going to prosper. You know what the New Bibles do? They make good use of that word prosperity. Prosper. Look at the sense of the word prosper here. A false prophet, a bunch of false prophets, saying a bunch of wicked kings, do this and you'll prosper. Thou shalt prosper. For the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. I want you to see that there's 400 on one side. Kind of like a boxing ring. There are people gathered around this courtyard. They're all watching. There is a face-off between 400 on one side. Zedekiah takes center stage first. You ever watch a boxing match? And especially in America, they make a big deal out of it. You know, before the match, the champion, the title holder gets up there and says, he's going down! He's going down! And the crowd goes wild. Zedekiah comes up, and the crowd is there, and he puts on those horns, and he starts charging through the people. And he charges over here through these people. And the people start spreading out, and he says, that's how you are going to win the battle. Everybody will melt away. Sounds good, doesn't it? Man, they make everybody go, woo! Wow! I just get goosebumps thinking about it. That's Zedekiah, man. Then the other 400 prophets are going, yeah, 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 let's go, let's go. It's going to be good. Yes. Repetition. Hypnosis. Then Ahab turns to Micaiah. Verse 15. Micaiah came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall we forbear? Now watch him. He answered him and said, go and prosper. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. See, how do you know he said that? Watch the next verse. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He knows he's mocking him. In came Micaiah, and Ahab said, so what do you say? And Micaiah says, yeah, go ahead. Sure. The Lord is on your side. And Ahab mad. Amen. Amen. You know, I've had to say that a couple of times to people who've already made up their minds sitting there in front of me. And I would say, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go right ahead. Do whatever you want. You think that's what I want to say? Do you think a man of God wants to look at somebody and say, yeah, you're going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin your marriage. You're going to end up in disaster. That's what you want to say. But they've already made up their minds. So here's Micaiah saying, sure, go right ahead. Everyone knew he didn't mean a word he was saying. And that's when Micaiah looked both kings in the eyes and look at verse 17. Now he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. Uh-oh, the shepherd's going to go. Speaking of Ahab. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah says back, hast hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. And he begins to do something. We're going to talk about that, but I want you to finish with this thought. He mocks Ahab, then he's going to expose what's going on in that crowd of people with those 400 unified, ecumenical, well-taught, well-educated, very powerful prophets. What's going on in religion? Of that day and today. And Ahab is furious. I like making the devil mad. Amen? And if I make you mad in the process, I wonder whose side you're on. I'm glad you laughed. Here's the main message. Here in this next verse, Micaiah is going to scroll back all the stars of sky and let us see what's going on in heaven about what's going on in the spiritual realm. Because when we see what's really going on, it ought to scare us. First of all, look at verse 19. I want you to see And this is the good part. All right? This is something good. Look at verse 19. And he, Micaiah, said, "Hear thou therefore what God says, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne." Where do you think God is? He's always on the throne. He doesn't take holidays. He's not watching TV. He's in control. "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." That's very important for you to know. Thank God that the Lord is in control. You know, people are saying, "I don't believe there is a God." You better thank God there is. God doesn't have a name except the I Am. He's there, folks. Whether you see Him or not, He's there. And thankfully, He's still in charge, or else we would have fallen apart a long time ago. But this is very important. All angels are under His dominion. This ought to wake you up. That means that there are no rogue angels. There is nobody that can get to you without God first giving them permission. There are no out of control powers anywhere. Did you know what Satan has to do? He has to ask permission before he can get at you. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Now look on God's right hand. There are His ministers, His angels of righteousness. But on His left hand, pick up there in verse 20, and the Lord said, He's got all the hosts, the heavenly hosts are there. And the Lord said, "Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall, be ruined at Ramoth Gilead?" And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. A bit of a discussion. Let's get up here. And watch what happens. Again, he uses the left hand. If you remember, Jesus sits down on the throne at his second coming. And when he sits down, on his right hand are the sheep, and on his left hand are the goats. One's in, and the other group's out. He's got everybody there under his dominion. And verse 21, and there came forth a what? All right. There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, "I will persuade him." And the Lord said unto him, "Wherewith?" And he said, "I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And he said, "Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee." Your daddy's back there. Okay. Why don't you say something? All right. The first thing is, these demonic angels and deceiving destroyers are under the dominion of our God. Even Satan is under his dominion. And there is something that's scary now. God uses all things to accomplish his will. He's got a crowd of angelic spirits and demonic spirits fighting over you. Fighting to get a chance whether to help you or deceive you. And the thing that you've got to realize, that what we're going to talk about here, is that sometimes God will let you have what you want. It's not His will, but He says, yep, He's got to go down and you're going to do it, go right ahead. He's going to allow demonic spirits to ruin your life. Now watch this. People think that God would never allow them to be deceived. I'm a child of God. My Heavenly Father would never let me be deceived. Really? There are countless numbers of born-again Christians who really believe they've been healed when they haven't been. They believe it. There are countless numbers of born-again Christians who really believe that they speak in unknown tongues when they're not. There are countless numbers of people who are children of God who are deceived in thinking they have visions from Mary and Joseph and Blessed John the Baptist. And they believe it, and you can't convince them otherwise. Because God would never deceive me. God's not deceiving you. What's the point? God allows you to be deceived because that's what you want. This is very scary. You know, just because you believe in God does not protect you from deception. Do you know there's only one thing that protects you from deception? What is it? That book right there. Did you know if you met Jesus Christ and you met the Antichrist, if you didn't have that Bible, they would look just the same. You can't tell them apart. They are so much alike. Everything that Jesus Christ did, the Antichrist will do. And you couldn't tell them apart unless you had the x-ray of God's Word to be able to go, he's a fraud. That's the Antichrist. Don't you think that you just have this ability to tell when you're being deceived? You need to realize that God will give you what you want. If you want the truth, you know what God will do? He'll get it to you. You know why missionaries end up in Amazon, Papua New Guinea, Cork, Ireland? Because there's somebody here who said, God, I sure wish I knew you. The Lord said, I better wake up a Texan, get him over there and tell him the gospel. Amen. If you want the truth, God will get it to you. Amen. Do you know if you want a vision? If you want a vision, he'll allow the devil to give you more visions than you can handle. If you want to be saved, do what the Bible says. He'll even help you get that. The Bible says he will succor them. He will help you get saved if you want to be saved. If you want to learn this Bible, he'll help you. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit and he'll teach you the Bible. Amen. See, I can't even read. He'll teach you it anyway. All you have to do is listen to it. If you want to win a soul, God will enable you to win somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to win a soul. But if you want to have fun and dabble in sin and get away with it for a while, well, he'll not stop you. Are you getting this? Countless numbers of Christians or people who at least name the name of Christ are falling away because they want to. God is about to allow... I've already been up this. I didn't know I had all that. God is about to allow a demon to work out his will. He said, he allowed... And he enabled Pharaoh to perform his will. He allowed and he encouraged Nebuchadnezzar to do his will. So up there, there's a discussion in heaven. Man. And an angel comes up and says, I will persuade him to do wrong. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And God says, great. Let me show you something about seducing spirits. The attributes of seducing spirits is called ecumenicalism. It's the getting together of so many people. There's nothing wrong with unity. We're supposed to have unity. But we have unity based upon truth, not based upon feelings, not based upon experiences. Did you have an angel talk to you last night? I did too. Oh, we must be family. So many people get together because of unity. Seducing spirits will always tell you what you want to hear. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having... Oh, right here. Oh, a little lower. Oh, yeah. You ever seen a dog? You get that right place and his whole body's going... That's people. And you can tell when the preacher's scratching ears, when everybody's like, oh, yeah. Wow, this is good. You know, when God shows up, it's not always good. Not always bad, but just get the idea. You don't want to go to a place that tells you what you want to hear. I want to know the truth. Tickle your ears. That's a seducing spirit. Whoa! Listen, guys, listen to me. Every girl who says you're handsome usually is lying. Ladies, every time some guy across a bar tells you you're beautiful, he is lying! Amen. But they'll tell you what you want to hear. Amen. That's a seducing spirit. That's a modern concept that we forgot about, that this world is into seducing. They're not just showing you, oh, we've got a different way. No, they want to say, look how more better our way is. Look how more beautiful our way is. They promote you, what you need. Oh, Joel Osteen. Everything he says, and he's just like any number of 100 other modern televangelists, everything he says is, today is your day. God is going to bless you. That's what you want to hear. Amen. So the crowd, their auditoriums are packed. They promote New Age desires instead of repentance. Go to Jeremiah. Hold your place here in 1 Kings. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. Jeremiah 6:14. Start in verse 13. It says, "For from the least of them," Jeremiah 6:13. "From the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to advertising." Covetousness. That's all it is, man. Every time you don't have to be doing anything, and it's all promoting what you need. "And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people." How? "Only slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And lie through their teeth." Look at chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 17. Still speaking of these false prophets. 23:16. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. Oh, they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still, they say continually unto them that despise me, oh, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you." That is a modern preacher. You can live any way you want. You can drink if you want. You can live together if you want. You can be, you can believe anything you want, and God will bless you. Amen. Isaiah 57 now. Isaiah 57 and verse 21. I read recently about, Several people who've had to come out from Hollywood, come out from the porn industry, come out from all the popularity, and they've had the courage to say they have battled depression every day of their life because of the sins that they were involved in order to be so popular. Isaiah 55 and verse 17, verse 21 says this. 57, verse 21. You know what the truth is? You live wicked, the Bible says this, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Don't you believe the lie that I can live any way I want, I can be happy for a little while. For a little while. But the new religions are all out there to tell you, you don't need to repent, there is no wrong, you're so judgmental. I know. They promote false Christ. You know what Matthew 24:24 says? "Don't let any man deceive you, saying, here is Christ, or there is Christ, for there shall be many false prophets that shall promote false messiahs." Those are seducing spirits. How many Jesuses are there? There's only one, but how many are advertised? I mean, I've been in white churches, and Jesus is as white as a ghost. I've been in black churches. He's as black as coal. You go into all these places, they create a Jesus that fits their style. Listen, he's olive brown. He's a Jew. Amen? You don't like the Jews, you're taking it up with the author of the Jews. You don't create a Jesus in your image. You don't make a Jesus you like. You follow the one that God gave you. Amen? They promote false Christs. A Jesus that wants everybody saved. He's going to get everybody to heaven. He is not. He can't. He doesn't take anybody who doesn't want to go. And they give false hopes. Peace. It's going to be all right. You sure? Seducing spirits will look so good and do so many good things. They will act, dress, put on, perform as religious. And 2 Corinthians 11 says, "No marvel, for Satan himself shall transform himself into an angel of light." Like I said, seducing spirits. Folks, and that's not the worst of it. It's only going to get worse. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Still holding your place in 1 Kings. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 12 to 14. Second Timothy 3, 12 to 14. Yea, and all that will that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall be popular. Jesus Christ, superstar, right? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the what? Alright. That's what we go by. The world will say it's boring. Your children will say, we need a new Bible. We need new songs. We need a new preacher. All the things. That's how it grows, folks. That's how it grows. I don't know how Miley Cyrus, what is her name? Don't even tell me. I don't know how she even got into Ireland. But her crowds are packed out. You know why? There's been a falling away. Nobody would have tolerated that kind of sin 20 years ago. It's getting worse and worse. You know why? People don't care. People don't care that they're being deceived. Look, go back to 1 Kings chapter 22, and we'll wrap this up. Verse 24. 1 Kings 22, 24. Don't think for a minute that when you expose what the devil is doing, that he's going to sit idly by. First Kings 22, verse 24. And verse 23, remember, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit into the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, remember, he's gone to his corner. But Zedekiah, the son of Kemahana, you say that, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? He just came out of nowhere. It'd be like Bill just coming up and just hauling off. Pow! You feel spiritual now? Truth will bring on demonic wrath. And if it doesn't get you upset, boy, let me tell you, sometimes you need that bad spirit inside of you stirred up so that you get sick of it and you throw it out. If you sense that coming up inside of you, you ought to just instantly say, that doesn't belong in a Christian. It doesn't belong in a church. You get a bad attitude because somebody's preaching the truth, what do you say? Amen anyway. Micaiah was exposing the devil and his angels, what was going on. And at that moment, Zedekiah, the leader of that other group, explodes and hits Micaiah. And we see this all the time. Did you know Jesus standing there? And the high priest said, are you the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God? He said, you said it. And boy, the officer of the high priest winked. And he went up there, and I'm just going to use the backhand, struck him on the side of his face. He would have struck out 4 or 5 teeth at one time. Jesus said, what did I say wrong? Paul, standing there again in front of the high priest. High priest gave that wink. Paul said, I'm just here for the hope of Israel, believing in the resurrection. And pow! Got hit right in the face. Now, Paul wasn't quite a spiritual Jesus. He says, God will smite you. Paul had flesh, amen. And he got right back angry at the high priest. And they gave out to him and says, you shouldn't yell at the high priest. He goes, shouldn't have hit me, you know. But he's exposing a demon, wasn't he? Folks, listen to this. You will never be popular if you tell the truth and you expose deception. That's why newspapers don't tell the truth. Newspapers do not tell the truth. They wouldn't sell newspapers if they told the truth. The news media has to be popular to pay the bills, so they don't dare go after the truth. And religions don't tell the truth, because if you tell the truth, so few are interested. You'll never be popular if you tell the truth. But here's the point, and this is the main thing. People are going to be judged based upon their choices. Look at verse 29. What has Micaiah said? He said, don't go, guys. I see all of Israel strewn out, slaughtered on the hillside of Ramoth Gilead, defeated, and I see the shepherd, the king, gone. You know what? Look at verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead anyway. And the king of Israel said, now Ahab's got a sneaking suspicion that this prophet Micaiah probably is right. So when the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'll disguise myself. Jehoshaphat's stupid. He believes him. But Ahab says, I'll enter into the battle, but you go ahead and put on your robe. You look like a king. Because he's hoping that they shoot and kill a king and that he doesn't look like one. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle, but the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had ruled over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. Only fight him. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat what? Lord, help me! And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, because the king of Israel never prayed that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man, let me tell you, how many men does it take to do the will of God? One. How many does it take to speak the word of God? One. Here's one single man. He says, I am so bored, we can't find the king. Watch what he does with his arrow. He drew a bow at a venture. He says, I don't know where it's going. Let's see. I'm going to hit somebody. This make a great movie. And he smote the hidden, lying, deceptive king of Israel between the joints and the harness. It went right. Now listen, he has a front plate. He has a back plate. He has shoulder plates. He has arm plates. He has mail, which is not email. He has chains all the way up, but there is a joint somewhere, probably on the left-hand side, right between his back, where the shoulder plate and the back plate rub up against each other, and there's a small gap. And where do you think that arrow found its target? Right there. You cannot run from your choices, from the consequences of your choices. You can choose what you choose, but you cannot choose the consequences of your choices. Between the harness, wherefore he says to the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand, carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up there, propping him up in his chariot against the Syrians, and he died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. Whew. Look at verse 27. So the king died, was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Folks, people are going to be judged based on their choices. That's why God warns people to make sure they're believing truth and not being deceived. Over and over and over, Jesus warns, let no man deceive you. Ahab and Jehoshaphat decided to do what they wanted, and they went out to war believing God would bless them. A lot of people, even in this room, say, you know what? I think God will take care of me. I'm not doing that bad. I'm doing my own thing, yes. I know I got God in his little corner. I'm trying to keep him happy. I'm feeding and watering him, and I give him prominence for about 2 hours on a Sunday. He better be happy, and I think I'll be fine. Really? Ahab dies. You know why? Because he didn't listen to the warning. I'm going to be real blunt. I don't want to conduct a funeral except of a Christian who's living for God. And it's their time to go home. That's the only funerals I ever want. I don't want to look over a casket and watch somebody picked up. Somebody says, I'll never go to church again. You will when you're in a funeral. when you're in the casket. Don't wait until then before you come back. Ahab made a decision and it cost him. Now Jehoshaphat was spared. You know, there's a time to pray, and he prayed. God looked out for him. I mean, you know what that is? Grace. You see, he made a wrong decision, yeah. But in the middle of it, in the fear of it, he realized he'd done wrong. And God says, you know, I better help him out. Aren't you glad for grace? Religions are full of deceived people. The Holy Spirit warns that there would be an almost complete departing from the faith. You say, you know, I had friends who used to come to this church. I had friends who used to claim to be Christians. I used to be on fire for God. Now I kind of just, it's just barely enough to get me out to church. You're just doing what the Bible said. The Bible says there's a falling away, turning away. Why? Why would there be such thing like that? Why would people give up on God? Why would people buy all these new Bibles, think it's going to help? You know what? All the new Bibles are being read less than the King James Bible. Even though the King James Bible is harder to read, the number of people, and they've done statistics, they've actually interviewed 10,000 people in the last 30 years. And of those 10,000 people, over 80% of people who still have a King James Bible still read their Bibles. Compared to people who have every new Bible on the sun, under the sun. Why are people leaving the faith? It's because of three things. First one, because there's a love for and by seductive sensual spirits. They need to feel good somewhere else. You go to a disco, you're going to feel good for a while. You know the next morning you're not. But that's all right. Your conscience will be seared so you don't feel anything. Just keep going. That's what I'll tell you. There's a love for seductive, sensual spirits. There's a love for doctrines of devils. Some people will go from this church and go to a church like the Jehovah's Witness or go to a religion that says you got to keep the Sabbath, you got to keep the laws, you got to put yourself under this bondage so you can be more holy. That is wicked. That is evil. That is a doctrine of devils. Amen. And yet people love it. And it really is because they don't love sound doctrine. I don't care what I learn as long as it comes from this book. I'm not looking for, there are people who, it's called British Israelism. Some people came to the Bible and they thought that they saw Israel as the lost tribes of Israel, saw England as the lost tribe of Israel, and they started a religion telling the British, you are really the Jews. The Jews down there in Israel, they're not the real McCoy. You are. And people came. People listened to them. George W. Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God got tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. You know why they got duped? Because they didn't love the book. They love somebody saying, you're a chosen one. So people fall for anything today. I can't begin to talk to you about all the different religions out there. I can only point to one and hope that you know that it's the true one. Anything that doesn't match this, you go, it's wrong. Amen. Folks, the truth is this. God of this Bible is still in control. Amen. You wouldn't be here if He wasn't in control. Amen. If He wasn't pulling on your heart, pulling on your mom's heart, pulling on your wife's heart, pulling on your kid's heart to get you to get over here. Amen. God uses, and believe me, God uses all things to accomplish His will, even your failures. Amen. He uses nutcases, man, out there to get you to see just what you're going to become if you don't get right with God. God uses all things to accomplish His will. Seducing spirits are going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to promote what you want and need and what you need and want. They'll promote New Age desires instead of repentance. Seducing spirits will promote false Christs, false hopes, and they sure will look good. But here's the truth. It's only going to get worse and worse. You think it's hard to be a Christian now? Homosexuals have pretty well closed the door on promotions, and on you having management, and you knowing your own business. I'm dead serious, folks. Now is the time. Today is the day to live for God. Don't wait till next week, next year, because it's only going to get harder. If you live for Jesus, it's got to be today. It's got to be today. It's only going to get worse and worse. When you go against it and you expose like what I'm doing, you expose this thing, you be ready, all hell's going to break loose. Some of you, I don't doubt, somebody, one person in this room at least is going to get mad and never come back. Not because I don't want you here, not because of anything, but because the devil stir you up and says, all he is negative, negative, negative. He never says anything nice to me. I'm not out to hit anybody. I didn't point at any. Did you notice I really didn't hit at any one religion to talk about Jehovah's Witness or anything? But listen to me. I'm not out against anybody in this room. But like Micaiah, whatever the Lord says, I gotta say. You gotta start thanking God for a place that whoever stands behind this pulpit is gonna preach from one book. Is gonna preach what we need. And it may not be the flashiest, best. I mean, one of these days we may be meeting in a park. But if I can make the devil mad, I will have done my job. Amen. People are going to be judged based on their choices. You need to make a choice this morning. What choice are you going to make? Jehoshaphat was spared because in the battle he realized the wrong decision he made and he cried out, and God protected him. What grace God has. Thief on a cross realized a wasted life and he looked at Jesus and said, remember me? And Jesus said, done. God's grace is right there when you should be doomed. If you make a right choice at the end, make it today. Did you know you can access that grace today? It's called saving grace. If you would admit that you've allowed yourself to be deceived, you trusted in your religion, you trusted in your baptism, you trusted in your priest, you trusted in pastor, you trusted in your mother, and you say, I've been deceived. I now believe that Jesus came and died as my perfect substitute. And I'll believe you'll forgive me if I'll just ask him. All you gotta do is just look to him, believe on him, ask him, and he will change your life because he waits. He cannot save those who do not want him. And Christian, you can save yourself from a whole lot of trickery if you just seriously start learning this book. That's why we have Sunday night. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we have discipleship, because there's a whole lot of people being deceived. Would you stand with me this morning? Stand with me in bound prayer.